Hi, everybody. I'm Beattie Cohn-Reddos, and welcome again, my friends, to the Ask Beattie Show. And I think it is a really positive thing when people realize that we do not need to navigate life's challenges on our own. I know for such a long, long time, many people view reaching out and asking for help as a weakness, but in fact, it is a strength. And people, whether or not you're in the athletic world, we all need coaches. We all need second opinions. So it is a good thing, and I am hoping. Today, in fact, is the 331st Ask Beattie Show that I have been doing here on the Progressive Radio Network. It's really amazing how quickly the time has gone. And I hope, even though there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have listened to the shows and have gone to the archives, I hope that I really have convinced you that when life gets tough, when the depression, the anxiety, the worry, the scares, the sexual problems, the relationship problems begin to really get in the way of your life and your relationships, and you've tried exercising and meditating and eating well and cognitive behavioral therapy and praying and a variety of different really good things that we can all try to do. And I think that we all should do things every single day that are in our best interest. However, when those things are really not doing the trick, it is important. It is really, really important that you give yourself permission. And I think that is what so many people are reluctant to do, to say to themselves that it is really okay and that I want and I need to get a second opinion from an expert professional who can help me navigate the terrain, sometimes the difficult terrains that we all go through. And let me tell you that no one, not me, not anyone, is immune from the ups and downs of life. And of course, you know, I was thinking just before the show, it's going to be a year in March since our lives really changed. And we are still dealing with the impact of the coronavirus on jobs, on our health, our social relationships, of course, our mental health. And I continue to really track the mental health statistics. And unfortunately, my friends, the depression rates are continuing to soar. A couple of months ago, I was telling you that the U.S. Census Bureau reported that a third of Americans are showing signs of clinical depression and anxiety. And these numbers, they are really definitely increasing. And the suicidal ideation and actual suicide, particularly with younger people, these rates are going up as well. And what has recently been reported that the anxiety rates, 4 in 10 adults 18 years and older, that's 40%, are dealing with and suffering from a variety of different kinds of anxiety. And I think that what we've also seen, though, is that the calls to mental health helplines, they are surging. And that is a good thing. That is a really good thing because people are concerned. You know, we're hearing in the media every single day that there's different kinds of variants. Whoever knew what the term variant even really meant? And I know here in New York City, my husband, Jim, and I, we've been trying, and I know that there's a lot of controversy about vaccines, but we have been, you know, really trying to get the vaccine, and it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to actually even get an appointment. So there's a lot of angst and a lot of anxiety that we are still all having to really deal with. And with parents, you know, should we be sending the children to school? Should we be homeschooling the children in different parts of the country? Parents, they've made the decision that homeschooling is going to be the way to go. In other parts of the country, people are really experimenting. And is it going to work? Is it not going to work? I think it is all way too soon to really tell. And with the stimulus, of course, since President Biden has become our president, and of course, that is all good, things have started politically and economically to really move forward as well. And it looks as if most of the people are going to be getting some aid in terms of stimulus. And there's been a lot of talk about writing off student debt. So hopefully we are going to start to see, and hopefully we are going to start to feel a lot better about our lives. Of course, people are still primarily working from home. And I think in the beginning, and even myself, it was like, oh, this is really great. I can see my patients on Zoom. But for me, and all of you know that I have a private practice here in New York City and also in East Hampton, but I have not seen a live person, a live patient since last March. So that's going to be a year. And, you know, people wonder, how is that working? What is it like to be doing teletherapy on Zoom? And it's okay. And of course, it needs to be okay, because at the moment, we really do not have a lot of options. So it's so important. It is so important that we be self-disciplined in how we are going to be dealing with our daily life. You know, studies show, of course, we're still in the middle of winter and we're expecting yet another storm here in New York City in the next couple of days. People are still exercising less and eating more. But these are decisions. These are decisions every single day that we can make. Again, we need to be mindful about doing things that are actually in our best interest. And of course, Dr. Gary Null, I mean, we talk about this. He talks about this every single day in terms of the importance of plant-based diets and fruits and vegetables, grains, and making sure that we are eating healthily, that we are interacting, even though our interactions and our social lives may be primarily on the computer, that is all good. And if you had asked me, you know, prior to last March, you know, what my feelings were about spending all this time on social media and on Facebook, you would have gotten a very, very different reaction than what you would hear from me today. I think that whatever it is that we need to do to stay connected and to avoid loneliness, because studies show that there is really a loneliness epidemic. So if it means being on Facebook and Twitter and interacting with people in all kinds of ways that we normally never would have considered, if that improves your mood, if that makes you feel better, if that makes you feel more connected to others, more connected to our culture and to our society at large, then so be it. I think right now we have to be creative. And loneliness is really a killer. So the more supportive people that we have in our life, the better. You know, other things that I was actually just before the show practicing myself, because I was feeling a little anxious today. And I think I've been feeling anxious because I've been very frustrated about the lack of accessibility to the vaccine. So I was in my office, actually lying on my sofa, And just practicing some positive visualization. And I was listening to some music and started to calm down and did a little bit of weightlifting with my free weight. So again, there are many, many things that we actually can do to help us feel better every single day. And there are also real pluses to journaling. Sometimes you just don't know what's going on. You're not feeling all that well. You may be feeling anxious. You may be feeling a little bit depressed. And I think that being able to just write your thoughts, that they don't even have to be right. It's just your thoughts and your feelings about what you think is going on can also prove to be very, very, very helpful. And again, I cannot strongly, strongly continue to encourage the importance of exercise over the weeks. For those of you who've been listening to the show, you hear me talk about all of the studies. The studies are absolutely clear that exercise is a great antidepressant. It is a great anti-anxiety. Weight training is just so important, and we can all do it. We do not need to go to a gym. In fact, I think I'm probably never going to go to a gym again, so that I have tried to make sure that I have my own little gym in our apartment. I think that a lot of people, from what I've been reading, are ordering treadmills and ellipticals, anything that we can do to exercise, which obviously not only makes us feel better physically, but the real plus for the majority of us who really take our exercise seriously is that we absolutely feel much better mentally and emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically. So that I am hoping, as I say to my patients every single day, that you will seriously take all this in. And it's very easy to make excuses. We can't do this, we can't do that. And also to make sure that you are getting sufficient sleep, which is also something that so many people that I'm talking to these days are simply not getting enough sleep. I have patients, actually some young women, who are working internationally. So the hours in Europe, of course, are different than the hours here in the United States. And they're up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. And they are wondering why they are feeling somewhat depressed. So again, it is about all of us making sure and monitoring ourselves as best as we can, and none of us are perfect, that we are in fact very mindful of doing things that are in our best interest. Well, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, I made a decision that I really wanted to open up the phone lines, and I've encouraged people to call me here on the Ask Beady Show with questions that you might have about your depression or anxiety or sex lives or dating lives or romantic lives or lack of romantic lives. And again, that call-in number is 888-874-4888. But what I have also done is that I have encouraged all of you, and I have to say there has been a tremendous response from people who have been emailing me with a variety of different kinds of problems. Because the show, as you know, is live Monday afternoon, every Monday afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so that there are a lot of people who are, of course, at work. So again, I really want to encourage you to feel free to email me, and I will try to tackle all of your issues and questions and problems here on the Ask Beady Show every single week. Well, if you recall, Jason called me live on the show last week. And for those of you who may not listen, I will read you his letter, and I gave him some homework, and I'm hoping that he is going to be on the line so we can find out whether or not he was compliant in doing the homework that I actually suggested. So this is what his letter was last week. Dear Beatty, I have been married for 10 years, and after having two children, my wife is no longer interested in sex. She always says that she's tired or makes some excuses, and I have met someone at work, oh my, who I am attracted to. It is mutual, I think, and I am seriously contemplating having an affair. I do love my wife and children, but I don't want to live my life without sex, which is perfectly understandable. So what I had suggested, and of course I suggest this to you, whether or not you are having sexual issues or communication issues or other issues in your relationships, of course, the most important thing is that we need to have honest conversations with people in our lives. So I told Jason that he needed to have an honest conversation with his wife, and that I definitely told him to not tell her that she was thinking of having an affair. That would be the end of any constructive conversation. But I would, and this is what I told Jason, tell her that not having a sex life is not working and that you do not want to live your life without having sex. So my homework to Jason was to sit down with his wife and have, in quotes, the talk, the conversation. So Jason, are you with us right now?
Yes, Beatty, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm here. Absolutely. Well, I am
Yes.
so curious because everybody knows, and certainly my patients all know, that I always give homework after every single session. And of course, people who are going to be calling me here on the Ask Beatty Show, I also will be giving you and them homework as well. So what happened when you spoke to your wife?
Well, I did the assignment. The homework wasn't that difficult. I was anxious to sit down with her and have that honest, bare my soul talk. I did approach her in the way that you suggested, and warmly and yet, directly. And I was pleasantly surprised. She responded also very warmly and had similar thoughts as well, and was a little shy and hesitant to bring up some of the same concerns that I was having. And so we really had it out, and I must say that the answer to completing the homework was a very happy, I guess you could say even great. I mean, it was wonderful, and
What happened?
we proceeded to have to make love, and very warmly and passionately, and brought us back to the sort of love and connection, intimacy we had years ago, and it was just very, very wonderful, and we just felt closer than we had for a long time. And I think, your listeners might also, gain some courage and backbone on this too, that to talk to your partners, you're not alone. And sometimes, getting it out in the open and talking about it is so important for not only you, but for your partners, because they may be feeling similar sorts of emotions or, as you put it, the communication is so important, and finding out what the other person is feeling. And in this case, I'm very happy that it worked out. So I really want to thank you very, very much.
Well, you sound great, but as a woman, and I know you have two young children, what did she say about why from her perspective, that she disconnected with you sexually. I think it's great that there's been some resolution, but I think it's really important that people kind of get to the root of the problem, whatever the problem is, and understand what happened. Why was it that she, for such a long period of time, was saying to you that she was not interested in having sex? Was it sleep or a lack of sleep or children? I mean, what was her explanation to you?
No, that's true. I don't want to give off the impression that this happened within, you know, 10 seconds. And so, no, we really spend hours talking about, you know, what was she was concerned about and what had brought us to this sort of impasse. And it did have a lot to do with the children and her concerns and worries and also health concerns with her mother. And that she began to feel that I had tuned out of some of the responsibility and which I think she was right. And I fessed up and admitted that. And, although I love my children very, very much, I realized that I had not been as full a partner as I should have been in this. And I think that when we resolved that and she began to see that I understood what she was feeling, that really broke a good part of the ice.
I think that is so, I think that is such good news. And this is something that, of course, you've heard me talk about so often, the importance of communication, the how to say it, where to say it, if to say it, when to say it, and how to do all of this well. Because what happens is that if we are not communicating freely with our partner, with our children, with our associates, with our colleagues, it really creates a lot of barriers and it is all no good. It never, never helps in bringing people closer together. So I'm really proud of you. And of course, this is something I say to my patients as well. I mean, you just could have blown off my advice and my homework to you. And I'm just really, really glad that things have worked out. Now, I have one question, of course, because in your letter, you said that you had met someone at work and you were attracted to and it was mutual. So where are you at, Jason, in terms of this woman at work who you are attracted to and who is attracted to you?
No, that's obviously that's a great question, and I had already decided even before the talk, after I talked with you, and before I had my talk with my wife, that I was going to end the relationship or the possible relationship with my coworker, and that was a decision I made. Irregardless of what happened with the conversation with my wife, I just felt that this was not something I wanted to pursue, certainly not at this point. I wanted to give my relationship at home the full opportunity to be successful, and it was. It worked out. And I have had a very nice conversation with that person at work and has explained it and in decent ways it's understood and I think it was the right thing to do. I know it was the right thing to do and it all worked out. I just wanted to follow up. I think you're so right on this need to communicate with people at all kinds of levels. The audience that are listening out there, I just hope that they would take a little lesson from my experience and talk it over with whatever is bothering you with other people. And the conversation is so important. The communication is so important. And I really want to thank you for, you know, emphasizing that, Beatty. And I hope your audience out there realizes how important that is.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much, you know, A, for calling, or really A, for having the courage to write me the initial email, you know, B, for coming on the show last week and being honest and open about the issues. And of course, the most important thing is that you followed through and look at what's happened. So again, good luck in the future. It sounds you are absolutely, you and your wife are absolutely, you know, on the right track. And, you know, somebody was asking me this morning, a patient of mine was asking me, you know, how many men listen to your show and how many men actually contact you for therapy? And you would be very, very surprised to know at the high rate of men who actually contact me, because I think there's this myth, you know, men don't ask for help and men don't express their emotions. And, you know, I hear this so frequently, there are no good men around to date. So again, I think you are a wonderful, wonderful example of a man who was serious about acknowledging, addressing, and resolving your issues. And thank you so much for calling. And I hope you keep listening. And
I will. And I heard you say two A's and a B there. So I'll take that as an A minus for my grade on my homework. But seriously, thank you.
I give
so
it an A plus.
Much.
No, I think
A
I would
plus.
Give it. I will strongly disagree. I think you deserve an A plus for what you've
thank
accomplished.
You.
So listen, thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You see, this is the thing that can happen for, you know, for those of you who've been listening to me, you know, for so many years, and for so many of you who have watched me on television and heard my Ask BD talk shows in various different places, you know, where I've lived, you know, it's all about making a commitment really to yourself that when there are problems, whatever the problems tend to be, it never works out if you're going to look the other way, and if you're going to avoid, and if you're going to deny, and if you're second guessed, and you're going to assume, and you're going to blame. These ways of dealing are not dealing. They never, ever, ever work out, and they will never yield us, all of us, positive results. And this is why this mantra of mine, and I really try very hard to incorporate this into my own life as well. Again, nobody is perfect, but this acknowledge, address, and resolve as best as we can, it actually is a really, really great, great way to live, which is why, particularly in our personal relationships, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in the show, how important it is to be able to assess as you are getting to know someone who you think you might want to have a long-lasting relationship or a serious relationship with. You really need to find out about their interest and their skill when it comes to emotional communication and problem solving, because I want to tell you another thing that actually happened this morning. I had a session with a patient, and she too had been talking to me, and this is somebody who I've been treating for a while, about the dissatisfaction that she has had in her marriage really for 35 years. And she has a married daughter. She has a couple of grandchildren. And she has done everything, I believe, humanly possible to try and be the best possible wife that she can be. However, her husband has been unwilling, categorically unwilling, to get any help of any kind. He's a very, very successful business person. He has poor, if not almost zero, emotional communication and problem solving skills. And they have not had regular sex probably in 15 or 20 years. And this woman is very religious, so going outside of her marriage was never going to be an option. However, it was about a year and a half ago, and she had traveled with a group to Europe. And she went alone. Her husband remained in the United States, and she met a man. And this was exactly everything that she would never, ever contemplate or allow herself to consider, leave alone acting out under any circumstances at all. And what began was not a physical sexual relationship, but a very, very deep, deep emotional relationship, which actually continues to this day. And for many, many years, she visited so many different doctors because she had little sexual desire and she thought that something was wrong with her. And she went on a variety of different, you know, nutritional, protocols. And it was as if, what was wrong with me? Why is it that I have no desire? Why is it if my husband touches me, you know, on occasion, maybe every 6 months, that I have no desire to respond? Well, what this woman actually discovered about herself was that there is nothing wrong with her sexually at all. In fact, she has. So for her, it was a question of, do I leave my marriage? We have grandchildren. We have a history. Is it good enough? And we looked over the past really couple of years at the pros and cons of staying and the pros and cons of leaving. And her decision, and again, we were just revisiting all of this this morning, is that she decided that she wanted to stay. She didn't want to start all over for a variety of different reasons, but she did. She gave herself permission. It'd be interesting to hear what you all think about this, to continue to have this long distance emotional relationship with this man, where sexting and texting was going to be a part of her life with this particular person who she met in Europe. And, you know, as she was saying, this went exactly against everything that she believed to be something that, in quotes, a good wife would do. But, you know, as I was saying to her, I understand. I really understand where she was coming from. Her husband, she tried and she begged and she pleaded. He would even work with me, that they would engage in marital therapy, sex therapy, and he absolutely refused to do it. So her option, of course, was to leave, and this is the compromise that she made. So it was a very, very different kind of a situation than Jason's situation, who fortunately has a wife who was willing to talk about this and who was willing to deal with the issues. And it sounds like they have done, at least initially, a great job in being able to revitalize their sex life. Well, I have a number of other letters that I actually want to tackle and to read to you. So this is a letter that I received from Anne, and people are emailing me. So if you go to my bdcode.com website, in the contact information section, there's my email address and I believe my telephone number. So these letters were all received through my email. So here's the letter. Dear BD, I am 55 years old and have been dating a man for the last year. He is wonderful and we have lots in common, but I am not sexually attracted to him. So here we have a different kind of a situation. Everything else about our relationship is very satisfying. I think about leaving, but I don't want to be alone and start over looking for someone else. What do you think that I should do? Well, a number of things. And you have to handle this sort of a situation so delicately. The last thing you're going to want to say is that I'm simply not sexually attracted to you. So these are some questions that I had for Anne. I mean, number one, is it his technique? Is it his body or smell? And I was really curious, you know, what have you actually tried? Do you like the way he kisses? Are there things that you could do to show him, for example, how to touch you and how to stimulate you? I mean, he may absolutely not know, and we're all very, very different at what may have turned on, you know, somebody else that he was with prior to you may be very different than what you are needing. So in a very delicate way, have you tried to show him, and not verbally, you know, what you actually like, and to be able to say something like, I love it, darling, when you touch me in this way. And through a lot of nonverbal communication, we're able to communicate very clearly and very, very well. The other thing, and this is something I've talked a lot about. In fact, when I hosted the Ask BD show on the WPRO in Providence, Rhode Island, that was the number one news talk show in the state, I talked a lot about fantasy, and I talked about how we are all able to have sex with anybody that we want anywhere in the world and virtually any time at all in our minds. Our minds are so powerful. And some people might say, well, it's not cool if I'm having sex with someone to be thinking about someone else. Well, it's nobody else's business. And if that's what it is that really turns you on, that really helps you get to a very, very high level of arousal, it is your business. And we do what we need to do to enjoy ourselves in the best possible way sexually. So I'm wondering, Anne, have you tried? Have you tried fantasy? It is a very, very powerful aphrodisiac, and you can fantasize. You can be with him, you can like him, you can love him, you can share all kinds of wonderful things, but you can also, and I think this is about to really giving yourself permission, doing what's in your best interest. You're not hurting yourself. You're not hurting him, so that you can fantasize about having sex with anyone, with someone, whether or not you know them, whether or not you don't know them, and see whether or not that would help you feel a greater sexual connection with him, even though you may be thinking about someone else. And I'm always so interested with the people who are listening right now. What do you think about that? A lot of people would think that, listen, if you're with someone, you shouldn't be thinking about anybody else. And I think that we really have to get rid of the shoulds. The other question for Anne is that, can you live, you know, being in a relationship with him with just pleasuring yourself for your own sexual release? I mean, after all, there are a zillion different kinds of sexual toys, and maybe the combination of fantasy with masturbation and sexual toys, perhaps that might help you to feel less, I think maybe the word is frustrated sexually. But having said all that, In the final analysis, and it was the same thing for my patient that I was telling you about that I talked to this morning. In the final analysis, only you know whether the pluses outweigh the minuses. And despite all of the good things in your relationship, whether you can be okay enough. Remember, the perfect partner doesn't exist. You're not the perfect partner. I'm not the perfect partner. There is not such a thing as perfection. So whether or not you can be really okay enough in your current situation. And I'm really hoping and that you will follow up. You can either, you know, call me on the show. And again, the call-in number here on the Ask Beattie Show is 888-874-4888. And these are the kinds of things, these are real life problems that I deal with on a daily basis in my private practice here in New York City and in East Hampton. So, you know, keep the letters coming. And if you happen to be free during the middle of an afternoon on a Monday from 3 to 4, it's always great to be able to talk to you live. Well, here is another letter that I thought is something that I hear from people so frequently. And here it is. Dear Beattie, I am 45 years old and have been in a relationship with a man who I really love for the past 4 years. However, there's one problem. He will not talk to me when he is upset or angry, whether it's with me or his work or his children. And this can go on for days. He withdraws and simply ignores me. And I have tried everything, but he says that talking about feelings are a waste of time. So when things are good, they are really, really great. And we do have an amazing sex life. Can you give me some advice? Well, I think that there is nothing more frustrating, you know, when you're with a partner or a colleague or a friend or a family member, and you know that something is up, something is wrong, but that the person categorically, absolutely refuses to talk to you and simply withdraws. So here's my answer to this woman and to all of you. Again, you've heard me talking about this for such a long time that emotional communication and problem solving are the two, I really do believe this, the two most important ingredients that really make or break a relationship. And since we can't change anyone, and we really need to believe that, we can't change anyone. The only person we can change, of course, is ourselves. The real question is what you're planning to do about this sorry state of affairs, because this is really, really frustrating. So here are the options. You can do nothing, which, of course, if you're doing nothing, what you are really saying is it is okay. So you are agreeing to a dynamic that you don't like, but that you are going along with. Or you can continue to beg and plead that he share his feelings with you. Or you can decide whether the pluses in this relationship really outweigh the minuses, just like the last person, just like Anne. And I'm so curious, because this is, you know, this is the kind of question, these are the kinds of questions that I wonder about, is why and when he learned to shut out his feelings, because it probably has little, if anything, to do with you, that this is most probably a pattern that has been with him for most of his life. Because so many little boys, at least years ago, they learned that real men don't cry, they don't show their feelings other than anger. And I know that underneath people's feelings, whether or not you're a man or whether or not you're a woman, underneath people's feelings of anger are hurt and fear and disappointment and pain. And I just wonder whether or not he would be willing, well, maybe to have some counseling. But even before that, I wonder whether when things are going well and when he isn't withdrawn from you, whether he would be willing to talk about his own family and what it was like growing up as a little boy. And you could always ask these kind of questions, and how did your mother handle feelings, and how did your father deal with feelings, and how did your parents communicate feelings to one another? And I think that you would probably find, a couple of things that emotional communication was probably lacking in the family, and that real men and real little boys, you do not express feelings. Or on the other hand, you may hear that there was so much anger and so much turmoil and so much upset in the family growing up. This little boy, because of fears and disappointments and pain, learned somehow how to turn his feelings off. And again, I'm really, really curious because, you know, in therapy, in good psychotherapy, I believe you really need to help people get to the root of the problem. So if somebody's coming in with depression or anxiety, it's very easy to make all kinds of recommendations. You should exercise and eat well and get enough sleep and all of these things. They're fine and they're important. But getting to the root of the problem and figuring out what is this all about? What is the depression about? What is the anxiety about? And of course, we can't change history. But after all these years of practicing as a psychotherapist and sex therapist, I have learned that it is vital. It is vital to help people emotionally work through what did and did not happen in their earlier lives. And in that way, there is a lot of healing and a lot of revelation that actually can go on. And I wonder whether he may in fact be relieved that you would be asking him, probably the last thing that he would imagine that you would be asking him about his family of origin, but asking him about his family. And in doing that, you will find out a lot about why he learned and when he learned to really tune out his feelings. And as he said to you, that talking about feelings are a waste of time, which of course that is absolutely not true. But the thing is that as long as we basically go along with this kind of dynamic, whether it's an alcoholic or substance abuse dynamic, or a poor communication or non-existent sex life kind of dynamic, you have to understand that we then give other people no reason at all to make any changes of any kind. So that it really does come back to us when we say, no, this is not the way I want to live. This is not the kind of dynamic that I am willing any longer to partake in. And of course, there's always a risk because, you know, he may say to you, you know, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, you can leave. But again, as long as you go along, and if we don't say anything, and if we don't confront in a loving and respectful kind of way, all we are doing is that we are perpetuating a dynamic that we don't like, that we don't want, that is not in our best interest. So as I say to my patients all the time, it really takes a lot of courage It takes a lot of courage to say, just like Jason did, honey, there's something I need to talk about. And the other thing, too, is that you have to ask yourself, is this a deal breaker? And what, if anything, are you prepared to do if he says, no, this is who I am. Take me as I am. And but I think that before we get to that point of figuring out what are you going to do, I think it would really be very, very worthwhile for you to sit down with him and tenderly and lovingly just ask him about what happened in his childhood, and ask him about what happened in previous relationships, and say, you know, it must be really hard for you to not talk about your feelings when you're angry, when you're scared, when you're hurt, and to do it in a very, very gentle and loving way. And I hope you will let me know. You can either email me or you can hopefully call on the show. Again, the number is 888-874-4888. Well, there's another letter here that I received from Paul. And here it goes. And this was a couple of days ago. Dear Beatty, I'm a 65-year-old man and have never been married or been in a long-term relationship. As I'm getting older, I realize that I no longer want to live my life without a partner. However, I don't even know where to begin. Do you think it's too late for me? Well, my mantra about this is that it is never too late and you're never too old to at least begin to look for love. And this was my answer. I mean, I really do believe, and I've seen this multiple times over the years, that people, older people, are able to find loving relationships. Of course, we can't just sit in our houses and our apartments and wish for this to happen. There needs to be a plan of action. So the real question, Paul, is, are you prepared to take whatever steps are necessary to begin the process of finding someone? And this means making sure, of course, that you are in a reasonable, good place emotionally and psychologically. And are the things that you actually need to do, you know, maybe get yourself into shape, buy new clothes, begin checking out a variety of dating sites for people in your age group, zooming in now to singles programs and lectures. And, you know, people will say, well, how can I possibly meet somebody on Zoom? Well, on the dating sites, this has become the world of the way of the world. And I know that I'm going to a number of different women's organization Zoom groups, and there are chat rooms, and there were people that I really didn't want to meet, and I was able, through the chat, to send them emails and try and connect. And of course, there are no guarantees. But the fact is that unless we have an agenda, unless we put our wishes and hopes and our dreams into action, we know exactly what the results are going to be. So I really do think that social media is a great way to start to meet and to meet people through the chat rooms. And it is, it's a new world. The other thing I was wondering, and a lot of people that I know have done it over the years, is, are you open to going to an introduction service? And are you willing to tell everyone that you know, even though they know that you've never been in a serious relationship and they might think or believe, and of course, they're not right, that you did not want to meet anybody and have a relationship with anybody. So you're going to have to do some work. And this is where an action plan is what is necessary. And I'm very, very happy to be able to help you with this. And I'm also curious about your own past relationships. What were they like? Why did they end? What did you learn? Because I know many people who have found love later in life, a lot. But if you are serious, and this is always the question that I ask people, you're going to need to be willing to begin the process with the expected ups and downs. So I want you to let me know, Paul, whether or not you are willing to begin a process so that hopefully you may actually get what you're saying that you're wanting in your life right now, which is a partnership. It is 3:54 here in New York City. I do not know where this hour has come and gone. I can't believe this. But I want to leave you with my two weekly important messages. And the first message, of course, is that you do, is that we all do everything possible, that we are mindful of living our lives in all kinds of ways that are really in our best interest. And that means avoiding self-destructive and destructive behaviors in people, okay? So we got to be good to ourselves. And of course, the second thing, and I think that President Biden, we're on a good course finally, is that we all need to do a much, much, much better job in learning to love our fellow man. And my favorite song that I'm able to play every single week is What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. So let's buy into all of this for ourselves, for our community, for our culture, for our country, and for the world. So goodbye, everybody. And I will talk with you next week and every week, live Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the Ask Beady Show on the Progressive Radio Network. So have a really, really good rest of the day, rest of the week. Keep your emails coming to me, and we will continue together to acknowledge and address and resolve as best as we can the issues that continue to get in the way of your life and your relationships. So be well. We'll talk next week. Take good care and have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye, everybody.